Greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. Glad we can be together and think about the work of Christ and his mission on earth and coming as a baby. I know that there's a lot of questions in our minds in relation to all of those things. And it's interesting that God gives us a few little glimpses into it. And then he just closes the curtain and lets us keep guessing about some of those things. And that's fine. God has his own reasons for what he reveals, and he has his own reasons for what he conceals. But he does want us to seek him, endeavor to understand all that we can, and he blesses us for that. All right, I'd like to this morning think about, it's the last Sunday of the year, thinking about a new year, and I'm not necessarily saying this is a New Year's message as such, but my mind was drawn to this old passage in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 3. And you think about Israel here and their experience, and it's like us at the end of a year and looking at a new year. Now, maybe you have some plans for this new year that you have made, and maybe we have some ideas of what we'd like to do. But really, we have no idea the workings of God and the plans of God for us. Turn with me to Joshua 3. I'd like to use as a text this morning verse 4 we have here. We're going to read this account and notice the setting, the story of it. And it's Joshua here now leading Israel. And they have wandered 40 years in the wilderness, and they are at the entrance to the land of Canaan. Again, they are standing at the Jordan River and looking across the water and thinking about what is going to take place and how God's going to lead them forward. We have that in verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, speaking of the ark, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. You think about this thought, where Joshua was telling them that there's some things here that you need to do. There's some things that you need to observe. There's some things you need to be careful about. And the reason is that that you would be able to have a sense of direction going forward, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. And then he says, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And that is true of our lives, every step of our lives. You know, and you can look over the past year and think about, or the last maybe number of years, and think about what has changed in your life. And the things that God has superintended, the things that God has rearranged in our lives. And who would have said like a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, you know, that we would be sitting here this morning and enjoying this church service together. You know, God would say to us that you have not passed this way heretofore, and there's some things maybe you ought to think about. The same as what Israel had to think about some things going forward, because we just don't know. And I have found life, in my experience, I have found life very fascinating and the paths of life very interesting. And I must say sometimes rather surprising. How God leads and directs, and in spite of my own difficulties and failures and mistakes, but to be humble and to be submissive and to be searching and seeking the will of God. And I would say this morning that my faith has been strengthened because he has taken me personally, and I'm sure you would say much the same, through some very unusual situations and some very unusual circumstances, and made some plans about my life that I would have never imagined. Well, all of us here this morning facing the new year, facing forward as it were, must reckon with this thought, this principle, that you've not passed this way heretofore. This is new ground. This is new, a new stretch of road. And we want to see in this the desire of God for his people, for us today, just as he was leading Israel and taking them a step at a time throughout their lives, so it would be with us as we recognize that and the leading of God, the blessing of God. I'd also think there of Moses, there when he told the Lord, he said, "Show me thy face." You know, that was his prayer to God. I'd like to see your face. You know how that the scripture says of God's relationship with Moses there, that he spoke face to face with Moses like a man speaks to his friend. But there was always that cloud in between, that veil in between. And, you know, one day there Moses was saying, "I would like to see your face. Show me thy face." God said, "No, you can't. You can't see my face. No man can see my face and live. It's impossible. You're going to, you would just destroy you." And Moses, but he'd like to see, he said, "Show me thy glory. Show me." And finally God said, "Okay, well, you come over here and you stand here in this cleft of the rock, this little spot here in the rock here, and you stand here." He said, "And you watch." He said, "I'm going to pass by. And when I pass by, I'm going to put my hand over your face. You're not going to be able to see my face. But I'm going to cover you with my hand just so you can still stay alive. And then I'm going to take my hand away when I pass by, and you're going to see some of my the glory that follows me, my back parts." He said, "You cannot see my face." And God did that. And Moses saw some of his glory. And in that experience, you know, in the leading of God, Moses there said, you know, that in relation to Israel then, you know, how can we go forward unless we are guaranteed that your presence is with us? And that was Moses' real desire and concern, was to be assured that the presence of God was with him. The revelation of that glory was only a part of that. The same as we have Elisha there on Mount Horeb, Mount of God. You know, when God revealed, you know, his power in the storm and the earthquake and the fire. But it was that still small voice that Elijah was called to follow. And so in our lives, we desire to know the will of God, the heart of God. And here's a verse I think that is precious to me, and I think probably is to you too. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. You see it on mottos at times and hanging on our walls. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." In other words, to give you hope and a future. You know, and you think about the heart of God toward us, and to realize that God is saying, "I'm for you. I'm not against you. I want to lead you. I want to give you hope, and I want to give you a future." That's the heart of God for us. All right, so thinking about this thought now, that we have not passed this way heretofore. This is new and untried territory. Let's read this story, and I'm going to read all of it, or most of it. And start in chapter 3 and verse 1 and read over to verse 9 of chapter 4 to get the whole story, because it's the context here that is important in understanding what he is saying to us. It's in Joshua chapter 3 verse 1. "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there should be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Havites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass that as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, and it is that is beside Zaretan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priests' feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? And then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Very interesting story, very fascinating. When I feel a little weak in faith, it's one of the stories I like to read. And maybe you're here this morning and you know what it feels like, and we're going to talk about this in a few minutes maybe, but what it feels like to put your foot into the water and take that step of faith. We'll come back to that. But notice here, when in this whole context of Israel now was at the border of going into the land that God had promised to them, the land that flowed with milk and honey. This was the promised land. The anticipation was great. You know, Israel had waited many years for this moment when they would cross into the promised land. And so you can see that there was an anticipation, there was excitement as they were thinking about this. And this land that flowed with milk and honey, that analogy was used to symbolize the wealth and the prosperity that they were going to experience under God's blessing here. The manna would soon be finished. You have that, and go over to chapter 5 and verse 12. That when they had crossed the Jordan after this story, the next story was they were on the other side, and the next day the manna stopped. They were in the land of Canaan. And so they did not need the manna anymore. They would be eating now of the fruit and the corn of Canaan. And so God was giving them guidance and details that they were to follow. And the way forward was not to be obscure or hard to follow. Because he says that ye may know the way. God wanted them to know. And God wants us to know the way. Is he going to give us the details of all that's going to happen in our lives in 2020? No, he's not going to give us all the details of that. But neither does he want the way obscure for us. And it's not obscure when you think about that God is before us. The ark of God goes before us in relation to his presence with us. And so God is giving them guidance as he gives us guidance. This was not to be a mad dash into the future land. You know how it is with children sometimes, maybe school children. There's something going to happen. There's a treat here, or, you know, at the end of the ball game, we're going to have ice cream or something. And all of a sudden, okay, it's time, and there's this mad dash. Have you ever seen that or been a part of that? You know, this was not going to be a mad dash in their excitement to get into the land of Canaan. But this was not to be a chaotic scene of every man doing that which is right in his own eyes and finding his own path into the land of Canaan. But God was concerned that they would not lose their way and lose their focus. And there was a right and a safe way for them to follow if they would cooperate with God. And remember, they had the Jordan River in front of them. And you probably have seen pictures of the Jordan River. And sometimes, some parts of the year, it's a pretty low, small stream. Not much, maybe different than the Goat River on low water. But God did not choose to take them into the land of Canaan across the Jordan River when the water was low. Isn't that interesting? He chose to take them across the Jordan River when the river was full. It was overflowing all its banks. You say, well, that was kind of poor timing, wasn't it? No. God had a reason for that. And God sometimes chooses to take us through deep waters so that we might learn the lessons of faith that he wants us to learn. He's not going to always make it easy for us. If life were easy, like the song we sing sometimes, if life were all sunshine, you know, the flowers would die because we need the rain. You know, and God chooses to take us sometimes through the rivers when they are at their highest for his own purpose and glory and for the expansion of our weak and feeble faith. Now, you also think about this whole story here. And the symbolism of them standing at this place, you know, there's a sense in which they've stood here before. They were here one other time, not these exact same people, except for Joshua and Caleb. They would have remembered it. The rest would have heard the stories of it. They had been at the entrance to the Canaan before, and you remember how, in a sense, they turned back. Maybe not exactly the same geographic place. I'm not saying that. But symbolically, they were here before. And they failed in their belief. They failed in their faith. And God sent them back into the wilderness for 40 years until that whole generation died because of that unbelief. And now, after those 40 long years in the wilderness, that whole generation had died except for Joshua and Caleb, the only two left alive. And now they were at that point again. And God here is saying, you haven't gone this way before. You've retraced a lot of miles behind you, but now you're starting fresh. This is a forward journey. And none of you have gone forward on this before, except, of course, for Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb had been across the Jordan before. They had gone to spy out the land. You remember? They had seen the other side, but Israel had not. And so they knew what it meant to retrace that the same paths. But now this path was a new one. And really what God is saying to them, like he says to us sometimes, you ought to pay attention to this. You need to think about some things. Pay attention. Because this is, you know, ye have not passed this way heretofore. This is new for you. God wants to make the path plain for us. But it always requires the same of us, and that is faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. We said that he chose to take them across when the water was the highest. It was because they needed to respond in faith and obedience. And we too often are like Peter, you know, there when he saw the storm and the wind and the waves, and he lost his faith and he began to sink. We too often in my lives, I've stood at the Jordan River afraid to put my foot out and touch the water. You know, God has said there's a way forward, but you stand there just not sure whether this is going to work. You know, that lack of faith. All right, I'd like to look at a few things in relation to this now. I mean, you think about this whole aspect of not having passed this way heretofore. Why was this a concern, or why was this concern so important to God that they understood this? In relation to that ye have not passed this way heretofore, we have in verse 4. Well, this statement, that ye have not passed this way heretofore, is really a statement of the reality of the unknown. We talked about this a little bit, but the unknown is always before us. Now, to us, you know, there's future, there's present, and there's past. To God, there is no future, present, or past. It's all the now. It's all present, as it were. But for us, it's the unknown. And so this statement explains or points out the reality of the unknown. Also, with the reality of the unknown is the reality of danger. And I said before, it's if God is saying, you know, pay attention here. Think about this. It's the reality of losing the way. You know, that God wanted them to say, there's a certain way I want you to cross this Jordan River. He did not want half of Israel to be swept downstream. He did not want them to lose their way. But there was a way that God had chosen for them to go. And also, it shows the reality of a need. That they needed the strength and the help of God to make that transition from the one side of Jordan to the other. The unknowns of the future are always with us. You know, and sometimes we are more aware of them than at other times. You know, and that's why James there says, you know, that we shouldn't say, you know, tomorrow we're going to do this or that. And we make plans, and that's okay to make some plans. But always with the reality as a Christian, according to the will of God. If God wills, I shall do this or that. You see, that's the unknown. But as a Christian, and having God before us, as it was here, the ark of God before them, and they could follow that ark, which symbolized the presence of God. They were safe. They were secure. The same as we are. It may feel sometimes rather frightening and rather precarious, and you think about some of the situations, but if we are in the will of God and God before us, we are safe. You know, and even though it may mean times of testing, so God is in the business of helping his people to follow that right way. The challenge for us is, are we willing to continue to follow the way that God lays out for us to follow? And as step by step, you know, he doesn't lay out the next year for us or the next 5 years. But what he is asking of us is just to take it a step at a time. So, and we say sometimes a day at a time. Sometimes it's an hour at a time, you know, and following the will of God as it is revealed to us. And so now this path was new. And he was asking them to respond in faith and obedience. God wants to make the path plain for us. But of course, he requires the same of us, faith and obedience. is interesting now also, another part of this, is in verse 10, where Joshua is saying, verse 9, Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you all these nations. He says the ark of God is going to go before you, and you stay back a ways so you can watch it. They'll be able to see it. You know what happens when somebody is crowding your bumper on the highway? You know, there's very little opportunity to change course. It's a dangerous thing to do. And God's saying, you stay back, and you can watch the ark of God, and you watch where it goes, and you follow it. You keep it in focus. And so that was what he was asking of them. And we have in verse 10 that as they were watching the ark and following the ark, they were going to see what God was going to do for them. That's why he says in verse 10, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. To me, I'm sure all of us this morning, isn't that one of the most important things we think about in going forward in life? Just because we're going to a new year doesn't make the last week less important. A year marker just is a reminder, a jog again to our memories of the passage of time. Every day we need this. But to know that the living God is among you. And to not be willing to take one step forward without that assurance that the living God is among us. To know where that ark is before us, we can see it, the leading of God, a step at a time. Isn't this the heart cry of every sincere child of God? I want to know, I want to be assured that the presence of God is in my life. To know the Lord God is among us, is in us. It is true of every spiritual church or every spiritual congregation to be assured the presence of God is here. We have his blessing upon us. God wanted them to trust in the promise of his presence. Why do you think that they were going to need, was it just because they needed to get across the Jordan River? Is that why God wanted them to be assured of his presence? What do you think? Was it just so they could get to the other side? And after they got to the other side, it was going to be, we made it. What was going to happen once they got on the other side? That's when the real battles were going to start. I know some songs we sing sometimes refer to crossing the Jordan as the death experience into the promised land as a word. I'm not saying there's no analogy there, but you know, I believe that this better typifies crossing into Christian life, Christian experience, the new birth. You know, when we surrender our life to Christ and we confess our sins and find repentance, and God there is taking us across the Jordan River into the promised land of Christian life and Christian experience and the blessing of his presence with us. But what does it also mean? Battles. See, in heaven there'll be no battles to fight, so that's where the analogy breaks down there. But when you think about Christian experience, and as long as Israel was faithful, they won every battle. Isn't that true of us in our Christian life? We're faithful to God, stay under his blessing, exercise faith in him, we can win every battle. Do we win every battle? No. Whose fault is it? Our fault. The power's there. He's promised total victory. Hereby you shall know that the living God is among you. God wanted them to trust in the promise of his presence. There was going to be battles ahead, and the future was full of enemies and battles for the next years until they finally conquered the land and they could put their swords down, until the land was subdued, until the cities were conquered. And so this morning, we want to be sure and know that the Lord God is among us. So he gave them a sign, which was to encourage them and to fortify them. The sign that he gave them that the Lord, the presence of the Lord was among them, first of all, was the ark that we've talked about that would move ahead of them and lead the way. So the priests would pick up the ark and start walking toward the Jordan River. And remember, it says that the Jordan was overflowing all its banks, and they walked right up to the Jordan River. And Israel was coming into line behind them, following at a safe distance. So this symbolized his presence. And you think about that in relation to our lives. We must be sure that we follow the presence and the leading of the Holy Spirit of God in our life, rather than somehow, you know, at times think that the presence of God will follow us. Maybe you never had that struggle, but you kind of go ahead and make a bunch of plans, then all of a sudden, well, Lord, can you bless these plans, please? You know, it's like you going ahead and expecting the ark to follow you somewhere. That's not what God told Israel. He says, the ark's going to go out ahead of you. That's what you follow. So it's interesting how we can get that confused sometimes. Secondly, God was going to perform a miracle for them. His presence would hold back the waters of the Jordan River for them to cross. Now, you remember back when they crossed the Red Sea coming out of Egypt. You know, the Lord brought up that wind that time, you know, and help push back the waters and dried up the mud. In this case, it doesn't seem that happened. This is a little different miracle, because it says that, you know, when in verse 15, and as they that bear the ark were come into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, that the waters which came down from above stood up and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people passed right over against Jordan. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. God didn't even use wind this time to push back the waters and dry up the mud. It just happened because of the feet of the priests. That symbol of faith, like we talked about before, you stand there and God says the waters are going to part. If you have faith to believe this, the waters are going to part and you walk right in until the sole of your foot touches the water. God said, then it's going to happen. And that's exactly what happened. That was to give them a witness that the presence of God was with them. Now, we haven't, not aware that any of us have been involved in as a dramatic of a picture as what this would be. And yet, in our lives, you with me probably can say and tell some of the stories of when God was asking us to put our foot into the water. There was no, from a human perspective, there was no way forward until we exercised that faith and simply did what God commanded us to do. And then the waters parted. And so it shows the power of God. As a group of Christians, of individuals, families, God has opened the way. Most of you know this, and I'm just going to recount it again. I've told this many times to people since our group formed here. In March, it'll be 9 years. When the decision was made that we need to relocate, some of you remember this well. It was 98% approval to relocate to Creston. A tremendous undertaking. And I admit that I had to do a lot of praying and some fasting over that time of how this was going to work. There was not a big fund of money available. A small group moving to a far, in a sense, I mean, it wasn't close by, day's drive, properties to sell, businesses to close, but we prayed that God would make a way. And to make that decision by faith, we believed it was right. We were under the, it was by the encouragement also of Western Fellowship Ministry. And looking back, it was one of those Jordan crossings where, humanly speaking, it would have been impossible. I remember one of our brothers' meetings, we said, how are we going to do this? How are we going to keep our group together? Some are going to be down in Crescent, some are going to still be in Van Nuys, and you know how it is to sell property sometimes and, you know, and buy properties and, you know, stop a job here and start trying to find a job down there. And, you know, the concern was, is it going to just scatter us because of the how long it could take, how long and drawn out it could be until this all happened. And we prayed, and we prayed. And if I remember right, I have to look it up again, but was it 8 properties that were sold? I think only 1 or 2 of those were actually listed with a realtor. The rest were simply word of mouth. Somebody came along and said, heard you might want to sell, or have you ever thought of selling? I'm interested in buying your property. I think it was only 2 of the 8 properties that were, or something like that, 1 or 2 of the 8 properties that were listed with the realtor. Sold. And it was, and 8 families moved. It was just right around, just shy of 3 months, 90 days. Basically all happened. You know, looking back, there's no way we could coordinate that. I remember the brothers and me, we discussed this, how are we going to stay together, how is this going to work, and we finally decided, you know what, it's every man to himself, because there's no way we can coordinate this and say, well, we're all going to stay together as a group and then we're going to move as a group. Because I just share that. It's one of the memorial stones of my life, my ministry, that God has put there to say, you trusted me. As a people, you trusted me, and I moved the Jordan for you. Hereby you shall know that the living God is among you. I've retold that many times to people that ask about us moving and relocating and how did that work. And some brother called not that long ago and wondered, like, how did that all work? And do you have any advice? What do you say? You pray. And you pray. And you fast and you pray. And you have faith to believe that when you make that decision, that the living God is going to be among you. Well, verse 17. Well, I'd like to back up verse 11, just point out something here. You know, we talk about God and exercise of faith, but I really like this when it says in verse 11, it says, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, which we've talked about, but it says the Lord of all the earth passed over before you into Jordan. Okay, we have the covenant of the Lord. We understand that. But he says he's the Lord of all the earth. And it's interesting that he says that again, verse 13, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, and this isn't just the Lord now, yes, but he says, the Lord of all the earth. You think about the provision and the power and that is available to us. Yes, the Ark of the Covenant, as it were, the Spirit of God, the presence of God among us and moving before us. But just to clarify it again, it's the Lord of all the earth that has that power, that makes that available to us. To me, that's a tremendous blessing and encouragement. All right, now verse 17. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm and on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. All the people were clean passed over Jordan. God's desire is that all would pass over the Jordan and live in the promised land. And you think about here that it was all the people. So it would have been the soldiers, I believe, of the 2.5 tribes that passed over at this time as well. And they were, but remember that not all of Israel at this time were content to go into the promised land. You remember there was the 2.5 tribes who chose to live on the other side of the Jordan River and not actually go into the promised land. It is interesting when you look at that, and God left them make that decision. I mean, God, you know, remember that's another whole story, but that was tested, and they just about had war over that. But finally the Lord said, well, that's their decision. You know, that they chose to stay on that side, and they built a memorial so there'd be that agreement between them of why that happened. But it's interesting that really those 2.5 tribes became really like the lost tribes of Israel. And as far as the blessing of God through Abraham all the way to Christ, those tribes, in a sense, were missing. And so if you want to look at that from an analogy or a type standpoint, it's like those were individuals who did not make that crossing, as it were, or at least were content to stay, you could say, on the wrong side of Jordan. Now, I'd like to go down to chapter 4 and verse 6 and notice another truth from this passage, and that is this question that God said your children are going to ask you, and this is why I want you to build these memorials, to build these stone monuments. In verse 6, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them. God wants us as a people to remember his mighty works among us. And so, and it was the same as it was here. There's a memorial. There's a retelling. You know, that when these younger children that didn't remember everything, they saw this stone monument here, and they say, well, you know, Dad, what is all this about? He said, you tell them. To explain to them what happened. You know, and you've heard me say this before, but we need to know our history. We need to know what God has done. We need to be able to explain it to our children. You know, here is where God has led us. Here is where God rearranged things in my life. Here is where God has blessed the church. Here is why there's a conservative church in Creston or wherever else. The leading of God. And to instill that faith in our children, that they, as those questions come, that we explain it to them. Here's what God has done in the past, because that gives them an anchor and instills that faith in their hearts for the future. Many times when my faith is small, when I'm struggling with something with faith in my life, what do I do? Well, I pray, yes, but what else do I do? What do you do? Go back and read the stories of what God has done for his people, just like this passage. And it instills faith in us. It increases that faith. And God wants us to do that in the lives of our children too, to point at what God has done, the marvelous works of God. You know, that's to build that faith and instill that faith. And so that is a very important thing. What mean ye by these stones? It will be the strength and the encouragement that we need to face the present challenges and the future challenges as God works and leads us in our lives. The last one, over in chapter 4 and verse 24. We didn't read this. I'd like to back up a little bit. It's again rehearsing what the 12 stones meant. Verse 20, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones, that ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. That's what you tell them. That's what these meaning these stones were. Israel came over Jordan, came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, until we were gone over. Now notice verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that ye may fear the Lord your God forever. It was also not only to be a testimony to their children, but it was to be a testimony to the heathen nations around them. You know, that the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord. We have a message to give because we know the Lord God and his presence is among us. And we know that God has done mighty things. God has done great things. And we have that message to give, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that ye may fear the Lord your God forever. This morning, as we think about, you know, the genuine God-honoring witness to those around us, a testimony that God is with us and what God has done and what God is still doing. It should humble us and cause us to fear the Lord, to serve him. He's a mighty God. He has done great things, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. God has parted the waters before us. We believe his presence is with us. Let's continue faithful in allowing him to lead us and direct us in the path he wants us to go. He will fight the battles for us that lay ahead. If we follow, respecting his presence going before us, and let's, as families, let's, as congregations, let's not be satisfied until everyone is all clean passed over the Jordan. All are in the promised land. May God help us as we continue to pray and work for that. Just close with this poem. Dear Master, for this coming year, just one request I bring. I do not pray for happiness or any earthly thing. I do not ask to understand the way thou leadest me, but this I ask, teach me to do the thing that pleaseth thee. I want to know thy guiding voice, to walk with thee each day. Dear Master, make me swift to hear and ready to obey. And thus the year I now begin, a happy year will be, if I am seeking just to do the thing that pleaseth thee. May God help us as we face the challenges of life. The past is behind us. God has proven what he will do when we sincerely seek and follow him. And let's have faith. Place our foot into the Jordan. By faith the waters will part, and God will lead us. Let's be faithful. Let's kneel to pray.